Right, okay, so here we are in chapter 36, and the Hebrew pages, it's Memvov, the first side of Memvov, Memvov Amud Aleph, and the English page at the bottom, it's page 166, 165, 166, and we're beginning just about halfway down the page, where it says two words from the end of the line, V'noida, and it's known. And in the English, it is well known that the Messianic era.
Yeah,
okay. So, it's talking about the way in which the Rebecca. Right, so what is the purpose of creation? Basically, that's the way this chapter 36 on the previous page, the way it began. And it says that the purpose of creation, why Hashem made the universe and the world and us in it, is in order that there should be a dwelling for Hashem in this lower world. And lower doesn't just mean that it's lower down in some physical way, because that's not that doesn't really mean anything, because Hashem is everywhere, so it's not a matter of being lower, even though we often think of Hashem as being in heaven, which is above us. In fact, Hashem is everywhere, but lower means a world where Hashem is concealed, where Hashem is hidden. And in that place where Hashem is hidden, that Hashem deliberately creates a world where godliness is concealed, is hidden. And that means there could be all kinds of negative things, and unfortunately there are negative things, because Hashem is hidden and people behave in a way which ignores the presence of Hashem very often. In this realm, the aim is that Hashem should be revealed, that it should be a dwelling for Hashem, in the same way that when you live somewhere, it expresses your personality. So in that way, in that sense, this world that we're living in should become an expression of godliness. Now, that's the ultimate purpose, and that will be eventually achieved with the coming of Mashiach. So now, where we're where we have reached is V'noida, now it's known, Shemois HaMashiach, that the days of Mashiach, Ubifrat, and especially Kesheyichyu HaMesim, when the dead will be revived, which is in the Rambam gives 13 principles of Jewish faith. So the first one is to believe that there is God. And he goes through different aspects of belief, believing various things that we understand about God, to understand that Hashem is beyond any kind of form, and that Hashem is eternal, and then to talk about the nature of the Torah, which comes through the prophets, the Nevi'im, and ultimately the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu, that the five books of Moses, that is all something sacred and will never be changed. And these ideas, and that Hashem gives reward and punishment. And then it says one of the 12th principle is to believe in the coming of Mashiach. And the 13th principle is to believe in the idea of Tchiyas HaMeitim, the revival of the dead. That eventually the dead, the tzaddikim, and the whole Jewish people who are called tzaddikim, will be revived and will come back to life and will be here in the world. And the physical world will have our great-great-grandparents and the great sages of the past, and they'll all be there, and it'll be with the temple. It'll be a very, very spiritual time, although it'll be here in this physical world. So, he says, it's known that the goal of existence, in the way that we understand it from the Torah and from the sages, is the coming of Mashiach and the time of the revival of the dead. They are the purpose and the wholeness, the perfection of the creation of this world. You see, death only came into the world as a result of an error. There was a mistake made by Adam and Eve, and as a result, death came into the world. Death didn't have to be part of the whole package of existence. Shelechach nivra mitchilosai, and for that reason, for that purpose, it was created right at the beginning. Vagam kvahoya la'olamim, and also there was, long ago, exactly such a state of consciousness. Such a state of being, me'enze, something very much like that time of Mashiach, the time of the revival of the dead, b'shas matan Torah, at the time when the Torah was given. Now, when the Torah was given on Mount Sinai, that was an absolutely incredible experience. Kedichsev, as it's written in the Chumash, ato horeseludas, you have been shown to know, ki Hashem hu elikim, that Hashem is God, einoit milvado, there's nothing apart from him. So in other words, this is where the Chumash is referring back to the time of Mount Sinai and what an incredible experience it was. Horeso mamash, you were actually shown. We were shown, b'ri'ir chushes, with physical sight. Kedichsiv, as it said, v'chol ha'om ro'im es ha'koylos. All the people saw the thunder. That's an amazing thing. It says they saw the thunder. Ro'im es ha'nishma. They could see things that were normally heard, and they could hear things that are normally seen. It was an incredible revelation of the inner nature of existence, and that at the heart of everything is godliness, is Hashem, the power of God. That is the essence of everything. And this was all revealed at Mount Sinai, the giving of the Torah. Upirshu Razal, and the sages explain, Mistaklim lemizrach, we look to the east, v'shoymen es hadibah yoytzeh, we heard Hashem's voice saying, Anoichi Hashem Elokech, I am the Lord your God. So that's when they look to the east, v'chein la'arba ruchos, and similarly all the four directions, east, west, north, south, v'ulamayla ulamata, above and below. Wherever they looked, they could hear Hashem speaking to them. It was an absolutely incredible experience. The whole of existence seems to be speaking to them. Hashem was speaking to them from everywhere. Ugad Apirshu B'Tikunim, as it explains in the book called Tikune Zoya, a very precious and spiritual book, Deleis asa deloy malel minei imhoin. There wasn't any place from which God didn't speak to them. So everything in existence was communicating with them. Hashem was communicating with them from every side, from every portion of existence. Now, how come that everything was expressing godliness in this very intense way? That's the whole thing about the giving of the Torah. V'hainu mipnei, this was because of gilui ritzoino yisparach, the revealing of Hashem's will ba'aseres tadibros, in the Ten Commandments. The thing about the giving of the Torah at Mount Sinai is that the Ten Commandments were revealed. Now, the Ten Commandments are not just ten specific laws. They are understood as Shein Klalus HaTorah. They are the general prince. They are the generality of the Torah. In the Ten Commandments is hidden the whole Torah. So there's the entirety of Torah somehow expressed in the Ten Commandments. That's why the Ten Commandments is something so significant. In many shuls, you have like some kind of representation of the two tablets of stone that Moshe brought down the mountain, and on them are written the Ten Commandments. Sometimes it just puts the first word of each commandment, or the first two words. Yes, it's a very old custom to have something like that. In the Holy of Holies, in the temple, there was a golden ark, and in that ark were the two tablets of stone with the Ten Commandments. So the Ten Commandments are something tremendously spiritual, and what are they? They reveal the will of Hashem. Now, the will of Hashem, that's incredible. Because there are many different aspects of existence, and Hashem is making all the different areas of life, whatever it is, whether it's the vegetable life, the forests, plants growing, human life, and different aspects that happen in human life, Hashem is making that all happen. But there are more outer levels of the way in which Hashem is doing this, and more inward levels. And the most inward level is the will of Hashem, what Hashem really wants. That's an incredible deep relationship with Hashem, that Hashem's will is revealed. And there we have it in the Ten Commandments. Hashem reveals His will, that we should believe in Hashem, we should recognize Hashem, that we shouldn't worship any idols, that we shouldn't take Hashem's name in vain, that we should keep the Shabbos, we should honor our parents, and so on. Those are the Ten Commandments. It's something incredible. That is the will of Hashem. It's not just that we don't steal and we don't murder and we don't do other bad things because, well, it's convenient if you're living in a society, so people don't want people stealing their things, so let's all agree not to steal. It's much more than that. We are trying to follow the will of Hashem, and the will of Hashem, that's very intimate. The Torah expresses the inner will of Hashem and His wisdom. Now, when you're talking about the will and wisdom of Hashem, v'ein sham hester panim klal. Hashem isn't concealed there. Hashem isn't hidden. You see, in the world, we're talking about there being a lower world where Hashem is hidden. So you look at the table in front of us. So you see, it's a table. You don't see it as godliness. There's sometimes a person might try to contemplate and think about it, and there are very spiritual people that when they look at the table, what do they see? The divine force which is making the table exist there. But for most of us, what we see is a table, and we think about it in very practical terms. You know, does the color match the walls, or this, or the other furniture?
Is it room enough to get on what I want to get on?
Yes, is it the right size?
If I want to put this on, is it room enough to get this on?
And if you were buying it in a shop, that would be the question. Can I afford it?
Can I get this on? Is there enough room to put this on?
Yes. Right. So in other words, we look at it in practical material ways. But when you're looking at the will of Hashem, so that is actually what Hashem wants. Hashem says don't serve idols. Hashem says keep Shabbos. So these are, this is an expression of godliness. And that's not a hiding, it's not a concealment, it's not as if Hashem says, well, I said keep the Shabbos, really I meant something else. Of course there are infinite levels within the idea of what it means to keep Shabbos, but the basic idea that Hashem wants us to keep Shabbos, light candles for Shabbos, that's what Hashem wants. That is actually, that is the open, unclothed will of Hashem. Ve'ein sham hester panim kal. There's no concealment at all at that level. K'mo shekosav, as it says, now there's a verse which says, ki ba'or panecha, with the radiance of your countenance, you have given us, ki ba'or panecha, with the radiance of your countenance, nosata lanu, you've given to us Torah Tzchaim, a Torah of life. This is actually in the prayers, in the liturgy, in the daily prayers, in the Amida. So we're saying to Hashem, in the radiance of your countenance, you've given to us a Torah of life. So that means the Torah comes to us with the radiance of Hashem's revelation. That's incredible. That's incredible. That means the Torah was actually moving aside a veil, the giving of the Torah, and giving us Hashem in the most incredible, intense way. Now, in this week's Parsha, in this week's Sedra, I don't know if Rabbi Polash spoke about it, but there's a passage which talks about Hashem says, Moshe is on Mount Sinai, and he's speaking to Hashem, and he says, show me your glory. And Hashem says to him, man cannot see me and live. because the intensity of the glory of Hashem is so powerful that we limited human beings would be knocked for six. It would be just too intense. It would be too much for us. You know, like there are things that a person can see. You know, imagine you travel to some fantastic mountain range, you know, and you're looking at this, you know, and you gasp, or the Niagara Falls,
yes,
or something. You know, it's like it really brings a gasp
it's
for an insight.
Breathtaking,
exactly
really
that.
Breathtaking.
Now imagine, so this landscape is breathtaking, you know, 4 points breathtaking. Another landscape is 7 points breathtaking. Another one is 12 points breathtaking. You know, now to gaze at the infinite revelation, glory of Hashem is so breathtaking, we wouldn't be able to breathe anymore. It would knock us out completely. And so that's what it's saying here, and that's what we read in the Chumash, in the Torah. The last words on this page. V'lachein hayu b'teilim mamash, b'teilim b'metzias. And therefore, over the page, onto page 167 and 168, and therefore they were completely, they expired out of existence. It was, they became like nothing. Yeah, that's right, it's the last page of this pack. K'mayma Razal, as the sages said, shall call diba pocha nishmosam, every word that Hashem said, our souls fled. And if our souls fled, how did we survive? So Hashem had to bring us back to life again. Eilu shehechazira HaKadosh Baruch Hu lehem, Hashem brought our soul back to us, betal, with the due, she'osid lahachiyus boyas hameisim, with which in the future Hashem will bring the dead to life. So when we come to that point, when it will be the revival of the dead, then how will Hashem bring the dead to life? So the sages speak about a special dew which will revive the dead. And that dew, what kind of dew is it? V'hu tal Torah. It's the dew of Torah. That within Torah there is a kind of a life-giving dew which is so powerful it brings the dead to life. Shenikra oiz, and it's called power, it's called strength. Kamaima Razal, as the sages say, Kola oisik b'Torah, if anyone learns Torah, tal Torah mechayehu, then the dew of Torah gives him life and revives him. So this was something incredible. We have there an intense revelation of Hashem, because the inwardness of Hashem's will was revealed in such a powerful way. It's very interesting that the Ten Commandments, in a way, they're very prosaic. You know, like they're very ordinary. Honor your parents.
Basic.
Yes.
Most people would say, yes, we honor your parents, we shall not kill, etc., etc.
That's
the basic
right.
Things in life, actually, that
that's
most
right.
People would relate to, I
straightforward
think.
Straightforward basic things in life. But those straightforward basic things in life are coming from deep within Hashem, revealing what He wants from us and from the world. And that idea. So there is this, that's right, they're basic, but they're going to the very essence of godliness. And so therefore the revelation of those teachings was an incredibly powerful experience which was too intense for us to take, and our souls fled. It's as if we passed out in ecstasy or died even. And then God brought us back to life, and He brought us back to life using the same Torah, that in the Torah there is the dew of Torah. And the dew of Torah revived us. And that dew of Torah ultimately will revive everyone. Now, so therefore we were in a very exalted position when we had just received the Torah. We had this extremely intense spiritual experience. And we'd survived it. We'd lived through it. And that itself was a wonderful thing. So we then have the question, so why aren't we on that very beautiful spiritual level now? Well, things went wrong shortly afterwards, as it tells us in this week's Sedra about the golden calf. Raksha achakach goramachet. After that, unfortunately, after that, the sin of the golden calf caused them to lose this high spiritual level they were on. V'nisgashmu heim va'olam. And the people, the Jewish people, and the world around us, all became more physical, more opaque, more tangible, and hiding godliness. So that happened to us in our own heart, and it happened to the world around us. Ad eis keitz hayomin, till the time of the end of days, the time of Mashiach, that means. Sha'oz yistakech gashmias haguf. Then the physicality of the body will become purified. At the moment, the physicality of our body tends to have a rather draining aspects to us. You know, like, God forbid, person has an accident, unfortunately. Mm. So then they're plagued by a pain here and a pain there. Should be gesund, everyone should have a refuah shleima. That's the limitation of the physical body. We need the physical body, and at the same time, it's full of aches and pains, and even when, with the help of God, it shouldn't have any aches and pains, then there's other things. It's very tired, it has to sleep, it has to eat, it can't stand up for very long, it can't walk, so it's always got limitations. The physical body has got lots of different kinds of visitations.
As a human being, unfortunately, it's a human being. You can't be the same all the time. Unfortunately, you get tired, you get weary, as you say. You get
pain.
This doesn't ache. That aches.
And the body wants certain kinds of comfort and certain kinds of you know, certain kind. It all the time wants something of its own.
Yeah.
You know, and the person is ready to be doing other things, but no, the body wants this, the body wants that. So in the time of Mashiach, first of all, one of the things about the time of Mashiach is that it will bring complete healing to everyone. Every kind of illness, God forbid, it'll all be healed. The Rambam, Maimonides, puts it in a sort of an understandable way. He says that then will be discovered all kinds of new herbs and natural medicines which will cure people, so that what previously was a problem will stop being a problem. So that's one aspect of it. But another aspect is, not only won't the body be ill or in pain, God forbid, but the body will actually, it will stop concealing godliness. It will reveal godliness instead of concealing it. It'll be purified to such an extent that our bodily appetites and desires and experiences will become something spiritual, even though we'll still be in a physical world doing physical things. So the body will become more purified, and the world will also become more purified. In other words, the world itself, the world which at this moment hides godliness, or we don't see it, we look at the table, we just see something useful, it's big enough, it's cheap enough, we can afford it, it's the right color, things like that, we'll see it in its spiritual self. V'yuchlu lekabel gilu or Hashem, and we will be able then to receive the revelation of divine radiance, sheyoy el Yisrael, which will shine to the Jewish people, al yedei haTorah, through the Torah, shenikre sois, which is called strength, as we mentioned before. So the Torah will shine this tremendous radiance to us, the Jewish people, and we will be sufficiently purified and prepared so that we will be able to take that intense radiance of God. Now that's for the Jewish people. What about the non-Jews? Well, they're also going to be affected. In the time of Mashiach, they are also going to be affected. Umayisrin ha'aril Yisrael, and from the extra radiance, from the radiance that comes to Jewish people, there's more radiance and more. Yagia choshech ha'umayis kamkin. The darkness in which the nations of the world live now, that will also be illuminated. Most people in the world, I think, most people are actually suffering in one way or the other. They have a problem. There are wars, there's not enough food, there are other kinds of oppression, people are oppressing each other, there's crime, there's violence, there's fear.
Everywhere you look, every time you switch the television on and you hear the news, every corner of the earth someone's fighting, someone's blown up, something's been crashed, someone's,
right.
You know, it's always, it's not all very good news, most, not always, you know, it's incredible, isn't it?
People are suffering, it's a realm where people are weeping, there's pain of all kinds. And so from that great illumination that will come to the Jewish people, there will be the darkness in which the rest of the world is living will itself become illuminated. Kedirsiv, as it says, V'holchu goyim la'orech. Now there are various verses in the Torah and in the Tanakh, in various places in the Bible, the Hebrew Bible, where it speaks about, for example, here, the nations will walk by your light. You, the Jewish people, will have radiance, and it'll be such a powerful radiance that nations will be able to walk by this radiance. V'goyim. Orsiv, then there's another verse. Beis Yaakov l'chu v'nelcha. House of Jacob. The nations say this to us. House of Jacob. You go v'nelcha, and we, the nations, will also go. Ba'or Hashem, in the light of God. So in other words, the Jewish people will lead the rest of the world in the radiance of godliness. Orsiv, in another verse that's written, V'nigle kvod Hashem, the glory of God will be revealed. V'ro chol basa yachdov, and all flesh will see together the tremendous power of godliness, every human being. Now that will be also a moment of great awe. Uchsev, as it says, Lavoi benikras hatzur, hatzurim, to go into the crevices of the rocks, upasifei aslaim, the cracks of the great boulders, Mipnei pachad Hashem, because of awe of Hashem, the hadag oino in His great, His immensity, the splendor of His glory. Kamosha Kosov, as it says, v'hoifah ba'hadag oino zecha. We ask Hashem, appear, shine forth in the tremendous greatness of Your power. Al kol yoshvei tevel atzecha, on all the inhabitants of Your world. So in other words, everyone in the world, with the Jewish people at the center, will all be illuminated with this tremendous divine radiance. And that is really what it'll be like in the time of Mashiach. And a foretaste of that was there at the giving of the Torah. Now, We're now going from chapter 36 to chapter 37. Let's just see the beginning of this. V'hinei tachlis hashleimus hazeh. Now this ultimate wholeness and perfection, shel yemos ha-Mashiach u'tchias ha-Mesim, of the time of Mashiach and of the revival of the dead, shehu gilui or ein sof baruch hu ba'olam hazeh ha-Gashmi, which is the revelation of God in this physical world, depends on our actions and our service throughout the duration of exile. Now this is a very interesting statement which we find in the Talmud, the essence of this, but, and it's also in the Chumash. You see, when the Chumash, when the Torah speaks about the Jews going into exile, it says eventually they'll repent, and as a result of their repentance, then they will be redeemed. They'll go back to Israel, and it'll be the redemption. Instead of being in exile, they'll be back in Eretz Israel, the land of Israel, with Mashiach, and the rebuilding of the temple. So that's basically expressed in brief terms, but it's expressed in the Chumash. In the Torah. Then we have the way in which other parts of the Bible and the sages speak about this, and it's clearly the redemption is a product of repentance. But then what happens if people don't repent? What happens if no one's thinking about repenting? Well, the Talmud considers this. It even gives the possibility that the Messiah could come even in a time when everyone is completely wicked. So it says the Messiah might come in a time when everyone's very good, or it might come in a time when everyone's very bad. So that doesn't restrict the coming of Mashiach. And but what does is repeated in different ways, even though there is the idea Mashiach's going to come anyway, whatever the Jewish people do, but there's the idea that our behavior somehow affects the whole process. Certainly it was our behavior that put us in the pickle of exile. That was the negative behavior that we had in the end of the time of the Second Temple in Jerusalem. But a further emphasis that the Kabbalists give to the whole idea is that every time anyone does a mitzvah, potentially that has got a spiritual force which helps bring the redemption nearer. And this is something that Hasidic teachings emphasize very much. So that's what he's saying over here. Ki ha, fourth line down, ki, which is four words from the end of the line in chapter 37. Ki ha goyrim scha mitzvah, because that which causes the reward for a mitzvah, hi ha mitzvah ba'atzma, is the mitzvah itself. How do you get the reward of a mitzvah? You get it through doing the mitzvah. Now, the so how does that usually work? Ki ba'asiyosa, because by doing the mitzvah, Mamshech Adon, the person draws down Gilo Oen Sof Baruch Hu, a revelation of the infinite from above, Milamaila Lamata, from above to below, Lehislabesh Begashmi Yisraelim Hazeh, to being clothed in this physical world, Bedova Shahaya Tchile Tachas Memshelet Klippas Noiga, on something, in something, God's radiance flows down into something which previously was just in the realm of concealment. It was in the realm of the klipot, of the shells which hide godliness. Umakabul chiyusa mimena, and gets its life force from the shells. And what are those? Shame called dvarim atahorim umutalim. Those are all the pure and permitted things. Shenasis bema mitzvah maisis, with which we do the practical mitzvah. And he gives an example, kagon klafa tefillin, like the parchment of tefillin, and mezuzah, b'sefer Torah, and Torah scroll. All these things are permitted, and therefore we are able to keep the Torah using those permitted things. However, what happens then is the fact that by using that permitted thing in order to serve Hashem, by keeping a mitzvah with that permitted thing, in fact, a tremendous revelation is taking place in an incredible way, that godliness is there being expressed in this physical thing, the physical world, and the ultimate result of that is the coming of Mashiach, when godliness will be expressed in everything. So that means that a stage towards the coming of Mashiach is us keeping the mitzvahs of the Torah in the proper way, because when we keep the mitzvah of the Torah, we are at that point, we are revealing godliness in some sense in the things which are around us, in the things with which we're keeping the mitzvah. And the ultimate of that will be with the coming of Mashiach. So in other words, what it described in chapter 36 as being this moment of the giving of the Torah, when it was really like a moment of the future time of redemption with Mashiach and the revival of the dead, every time we do a mitzvah, we are bringing that closer, because we're expressing the same idea, the same theme of revelation of God in this world. And the doing of a mitzvah with some physical thing, like, for example, giving charity, which this chapter 37 focuses on later on, by the fact that we give charity, we're taking something physical, material, and using it for a mitzvah, which illuminates the physicality of the money that we're giving in charity. And how did we earn the money? We went to a lot of trouble. It was a great effort. A person was working from early to early morning till late at night, and all the effort that went into earning that money is now being transformed into something holy and spiritual. And so that is a crucial step towards the coming of Mashiach now.
Thank you very much. It's like yesterday, it's like Shlach Mamas. People give Shlach Mamas. It's a great mitzvah. Giving Shlach Mamas.
Absolutely. And it's done with a physical thing.
Yeah, Mr. Ives was saying, and everything yesterday. It's a great mitzvah to give Shlach Mamas yesterday. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.